Did you know that there are 5 key biohacks to start to do right now to reduce your body's inflammation, to slow cellular aging, and of course, reduce oxidative stress status? I even just recently wrote a paper on this. Check out my recent research articles over at theschoolofradiance.com. Head on over to the research tab. And while you're there, be sure to book your one-on-one session with me, if you haven't yet already, for even more customized skin and rejuvenation guidance, as well as some biohacking and detox protocols that I personally do myself. Don't forget to check out my free 30-minute masterclass over at theschoolofradiance.com. Check out the freebie section, enjoy that video, and also enjoy today's episode on the School of Radiance podcast. Hello and welcome to today's episode right here on the School of Radiance podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Varga, a humble human on a mission, here to help you achieve and receive the best hair, skin, and nails of your life. Using my background since 2011 as a double board certified aesthetic nurse specialist and having performed over 20,000 rejuvenation procedures, I bring the best of many worlds, including the worlds of home care, in clinic, and also the research behind what truly can help slow aging, looking at some of my research on oxidative stress status and its impacts on the skin. In the School of Radiance podcast, we explore many things beyond just the superficial to help you glow from the inside out and become your most radiant version. Enjoy today's episode right here on the School of Radiance podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to the School of Radiance podcast. I'm your host, a humble human on a mission here to help you achieve and receive the best hair, skin, nails of your life. Look your best, feel your best, all on the show as myself, as a double board certified registered nurse and researcher on all things skin and rejuvenation. We have a returning guest here on the show. We have Gregory Kelly from Qualia. And let me tell you a little bit about him. He is the director of product development at Neurohacker Collective. He's also a naturopathic physician and author of the book Shapeshift. He was the editor of the Journal of Alternative Medicine Review and has been an instructor at the University of Bridgeport in the College of Naturopathic Medicine, where he taught classes in advanced clinical nutrition, counseling skills, and doctor-patient relationships. Dr. Kelly has published hundreds of articles on natural medicine and nutrition, contributed 3 chapters to the textbook of natural medicine, and has more than 30 journal articles indexed on PubMed. His areas of expertise include nootropics, anti-aging and regenerative medicine, weight management, sleep, and the chronobiology of performance and health. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the show, Gregory. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. Thanks so much for having me here today.
It's always a pleasure to see you. And we actually had a chance to connect recently at an event, which was incredible. And I had the opportunity to actually get my hands on your brand new product, which we'll be talking more about, especially in regards to the gut and the skin connection. If you want great looking outsides, you have to have healthy insides. But first of all, let's kick things off, Gregory, with the unlimited dollar question here. What is radiance to you?
So to me, it's a few different things. But one, I think something that makes us more attractive to everyone is when they feel like they have our undivided attention. You know, so being able to focus our brain, I think, is really important and often overlooked in that thing, right? We work on our physical appearance, but you know, I think most of us feel when someone's attention is on us, we glow, right? And they're more glowing. And then I think, you know, a huge part of it is just starts at the most foundational level, like you said, starting with our mitochondria cells, the health of our gut, and working outside. And, you know, when those things are radiating at their highest vibration, I think it allows our external self to also, you know, radiate light, warmth, and, you know, at the most fundamental level, love for the people we are connecting with and relating to.
Amen, brother. I also love that you have a counseling background. So Gregory and I are huge nerds and researchers. We've both published articles. And would I be safe to assume that one of the reasons why we're so focused on health and wellness is so that, number one, we feel our best, look our best, and have great exchanges with others who are important in our lives and who we connect with. And having a well-functioning mind and gut is one of the first places to start. So tell us about your brand new product. It just came out. I only recently got my hands on it and love it. And it's the Qualia Synbiotic product. So tell us a little bit about how this can impact the skin in regards to something called metabolites.
Yeah. So the, I mean, most people have at least heard a bit about the gut-brain axis, right? So that's that communication that happens between our gut and our brain. But about 90% of that dialogue, at least what's flowing through the vagus nerve, right? So that's a nerve that connects our gut and brain, is going from the gut to the brain, with maybe 10% going the other way. And that, the gut brain, you know, the key thing there would be more mood and stress would be a main area that the gut brain axis improves. But there's also all these other cool axes that link the gut, like gut immune axis, gut joint axis, and gut skin axis. And I think of those, the gut skin axis, after the gut brain, has got the most, I guess, research and, you know, starting to grow public awareness. And so in addition to that vagus nerve connection, the gut brain is connected through the immune system, because about 70% of our immune system lines our gut. And the reason is, while that seems like it's inside of us, the gut is actually outside. So the immune system, you know, wants to make sure that uninvited guests don't get in. Another thing is so we have, you know, roughly, you know, tens of trillions of different bacterial cells in our gut. Our microbiota. But then they make somewhere in the order of 100,000 metabolites, just that science knows about. And, you know, some of those are things we know for our brain, like dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin, right? Like really important neurotransmitters and neuromodulators. But they also make things like, you know, things that regulate collagen and, you know, put that into our blood. And so very much what's going on in our gut is going to system-wide impact us. And so because of that, there's been studies on a few ingredients, and mostly prebiotic fibers, which I'm sure we'll touch on as we go in, improving many aspects of how our skin appears.
Yeah, I hear you on that. We forget about these things called neurotransmitters. For every single nerve in our body, we need neurotransmitters between those nerves to then signaling, right? Hormones, peptides, all sorts of other things. And I love that you also mentioned the vagus nerve. So the skin, the gut, the brain, it's all connected, right? And the thing with our vagus nerve is, yes, it mediates all sorts of things in the body. And it's really important that our nerves are functioning optimally so that, yes, we have great skin. So those messages to tell the skin to make more elastin and collagen are there, especially when we're doing things like collagen induction therapy, laser skin rejuvenation, and so that we also don't lose more elastin and collagen based on the mechanism from the gut and the mediation from that. Very well said. Love it. So tell us a little bit more about what you just said, the prebiotic fibers and the connection to the skin. I'd love for you to expand on that.
Yeah. So when I think of biotics, you know, many people know antibiotics, right? But biotics basically means, you know, pro-life or in favor of life. So it has to do with living things. And then, you know, probiotics have been around for 100 years. So those are the live organisms we would take orally to support our health. And then prebiotics, the way to think of those is that's the food for the organisms living in our gut. And most prebiotics are fibers, but, you know, to really be a prebiotic, it has to be something that can act as a food supply. And I know you're a big fan of the idea of energy, but really that's fundamentally what they are. So when you think of, you know, like a living ecosystem, so Yellowstone here in California, or in the West Coast, or any of the national parks, those ecosystems, the main source of energy is going to be sunlight, right? So that creates life in the plants. The animals feed on the plants. Other animals feed on them. It's the whole circle of life. But since our gut ecosystem is inside, the only way to get energy is things that we consume but don't actually digest. And that's prebiotics are the main, or a main category of that. And so the category of prebiotics is a range of different than fiber-like things. So there's maybe the most common would be fructooligosaccharides or inulin as an example. That would be, as an example, found in something, you know, in at least moderate amounts in onions as a food. But then there's, you know, something called GOS, so galactooligosaccharides. Those would be found in, you know, some milks. There's even milk oligosaccharides that a breastfeeding mom would feed to her child. And then there's resistant starches, which are maybe the, you know, I usually think of those as the ancestral fiber, you know, so hunter-gatherers would have eaten a lot more because they're going to be high in tubers and, you know, the outer coats of seeds and grains, things like that. And then you have a range of other things like the pectins and fruits. So the way fibers generally work or prebiotics work, if you said, oh, well, inulin's great, let's just give whopping amounts of inulin and we'll be great. So one, most people are going to experience really a lot of gas and bloating if you went that route. Two, we want our gut microbiota to be diverse. We want, you know, not to just focus on feeding. So the analogy I use is a zoo. We don't want to just feed some animals in a zoo and starve the rest. And when you go really high in one fiber, like an inulin or FOS, that tends to be what happens. So you want a diverse range. And then ideally, you want fibers. So the idea in the gut ecosystem world would be keystone species. So I don't know. Do you remember when wolves were reintroduced to Yellowstone back probably 15 or 20 years or more ago?
No, I'm not super familiar with that, but I have encountered wolves on many of my hikes in the Pacific Northwest. But I would love for you to talk about these keystone species and why they're so important when it comes to our gut ecosystem.
Yeah, so all ecosystems have, you know, one or more keystone species that if you remove them, the performance of the whole ecosystem degrades substantially. So wolves, you can find this video on YouTube if you search for it. But when wolves were reintroduced to, I think it was Yellowstone, within several years, it reshaped even the flow of the river there, because they changed the behaviors of some of the grazing animals where they were grazing. And when they moved from that area, the plants could repopulate. And when the plants repopulated, the soil was more strong. So it altered the flow of the river. So keystone species just have these huge ripple effects. Elephants would be an example of a keystone species in the, you know, in their niche in Africa. So in our gut, there's, of the, say, 1,000 species that you and I would on average have in our gut, there's probably only about a dozen, maybe up to 20, that are thought of as keystone species, that they just have a disproportionately large impact on the health of our gut. And so when, like in a simple sense, some prebiotics support them, others support, you know, species that are in our gut, but not necessarily the most important ones. So resistant starch, as an example, is really important because that feeds a couple of the keystone species. Where something like inulin, not to me as important because it's not as focused on the keystone species. And the way I think about an ecosystem, so just like in a simple sense, our gut is crazy complicated, right? There's, like I said, 1,000 different species, trillions of different cells. You know, 70% of our immune system is there, hundreds of thousands of nerve cells. It's the second most densely populated nervous system outside of our brain. And then it makes about 100,000 metabolites. So there's no one smart enough to figure out all those relationships, right? There just isn't. So the way to approach a system isn't trying to figure out all of the relationships and micromanage it. That's not possible. It's what can be done to make the system healthier. And the cool thing about complicated systems like, you know, like a natural ecosystem is they all rely on the same principles, like support the keystone species, right? If you do, they'll take care of a whole bunch of the rest. Make sure there's enough energy flowing into the system, right? Energy is what makes life. So hence the, you know, the need for prebiotics and other undigestible things that we eat, getting all the way there, because that's the energy supply. If there's not getting enough, then, you know, just like anything, any system in our body, without enough energy, it's going to, you know, underperform. And then we want to do our best to support diversity, right? So diversity is what makes an ecosystem resilient, especially to unwanted guests that are trying to like gain a foothold. So that means rather than focusing on, oh, let's just give more of one fiber, which tends to then often reduce diversity, let's give a range of these prebiotic fibers, right? So just like in a zoo, some of the animals are going to thrive on, you know, this food, others that they wouldn't use that. They would need something else. So when we designed Qualia Symbiotic, that's how we approached it. Like, how does the system work? How can we support better diversity, resilience, and more energy flowing into the system? And if we do all that, let's just sit back and see what happens. And, you know, we've done so far 2 small studies, and amazing things have happened in those studies.
Love it. So here we go. Radiance comes from being always ready, always resilient. Will lend to being more radiant, 100%. And this comes to our defenses, right? A strong and healthy gut will reduce propensity to get things like parasites, which have profound impacts on gut dysbiosis, you know, skin rashes, things like that. Want to keep the gut clear and healthy and well defended. And we're going to talk a little bit about prebiotics, probiotics, and even postbiotics in just a second here. We also need to make sure that the skin barrier is functioning. So if your gut is out of balance, you're going to be more likely to experience things like breakouts, eczema, psoriasis, rashes, skin and scalp irritation. So really, I love this idea of having more resilient skin through having a more resilient gut. So it's, you know, defense on all fronts, on the inside and out, which is fantastic. Tell us a little bit about some of the nuances between prebiotics, probiotics, and also postbiotics. What are some of the differences, and what makes the Qualia Symbiotic so unique?
So prebiotics, we've talked about, those are the, think of that, that's the energy, the food supply. So let's just talk, this is a really simplified organism system, but I live in San Diego, so let's talk about a zoo, right? The San Diego Zoo. So, you know, you have organisms that are currently living there, you know, elephants and you name it, those would be akin to the microbiota in the gut, right? The things that live in that ecosystem. The broader San Diego Zoo would be a biome, right? So sometimes you'll hear the idea microbiome. So the prebiotics then it would act as the food supply for all the organisms living there, right? We need enough food or, you know, we're not going to have a really attractive zoo for people for very long. And then most people think of taking probiotics as akin to adding more animals to the zoo. But that's really not right. Like, so what microbiology researchers, you know, gut microbiome researchers would say is colonization resistance. So your microbiome, you know, we're both adults. The time where our microbiome was adaptable, like, you know, so we could have really had a very different population of animals in our zoo was in our first 1,000 days of life. And after that, it gets progressively more stable. So long story short, my system may look more like Sealand or SeaWorld. Yours may look more like the San Diego Zoo, and that's completely fine. But most people think, oh, if I just take a probiotic, you know, SeaWorld's going to turn into San Diego Zoo. That's not true. So what probiotics do, they more pass through. So I think of them as the people that work at the zoo, right? Their job is to make sure the environment's kept clean, unwanted guests are removed, the environment is managed appropriately. So that's the way probiotics should be thought of, not as these things that are replacing or giving us new zoo animals. They don't really work like that. And then postbiotics would be the equivalent of what in an ecosystem is the abiota. So you have living things in an ecosystem and you have unliving or dead and decaying things. You know, so think of a, you know, a tree that's fallen over. And an ecosystem to thrive needs both. You know, like life alone without the abiotic mass, that ecosystem is going to get unhealthy very quickly. So what a postbiotic is, it would either be a fermented food or potentially a probiotic organism that's now been inactivated, usually by heat, you know, sterilization, something like that. And so what that does, it adds in that abiotic mass. And believe it or not, for our immune system, that might even be more important than the live probiotic things. And the reason is and this is the way I would think about it, so it's way oversimplified. Think of the live ones as like when they interact with our immune cells that are lining our gut, they're going to be struggling. And, you know, so it's a little more challenging for our immune system to grab them and learn from them. But what makes our immune system learn is the debris of, you know, the antigenic debris, what they would say, like the antennas that stick off things. That's what they recognize. And so the inactivated ones provide the perfect learning experience without the struggle. So that combination gives, in my opinion, the best global support, because you're doing things to add, you know, the food into the zoo. You're making sure there's now more people that can staff and keep the zoo clean. And you're adding things in that allow the system to learn.
What about this concept of symbiotic? Everyone knows pre and post and probiotics, but what about symbiotic? And I know that you and your team at Qualia and Neurohacker Collective, you're big into research and development. You are, you know, some of the biggest super nerds I've ever met. That's why I love you and your team so much. So share with us, what exactly is a symbiotic?
So syn as opposed, so S-Y-N as opposed to S-Y-M, because I see them mixed up a lot. Syn has to do with together. And so symbiotic would be originated from the combination of pre and probiotic ingredients given together. And that's still how it's most used, that like additional layering of postbiotics and fermented foods is somewhat, well, it's the newer thing. And, you know, I think we're the first one that are legitimately doing that combination of the prebiotics, the probiotics, the postbiotics, and the fermented foods to really give this layering effect and support, you know, in a much more global way, our gut. And then, like I said, the gut-brain, gut-skin axis. So
that's great. Thanks for clearing that up, because this could be a very new term for many listeners. Why don't we nerd out just a little bit and get into some of the science-backed ingredients to support optimal digestion, immune function, and key aspects to the gut and brain connection?
Sure. Well, let's start with probiotics. And one of the things to understand with probiotics, so probiotics by definition are going to be the live microorganisms that we consume. And you can almost think of those as in two big categories. You have, you know, live ones like what you see in your yogurt or kefir, right? The lactobacilli and bifidobacteria. And then you have what are often described as sporobiotics or soil-based organisms. They can go by either name. And think of those as more dormant. They would be more the equivalent of a seed that when put into the right environment will blossom into a plant. So a couple key things to understand of that first category, the live probiotics, the vast majority of those aren't resilient. They're not designed to survive our digestive system. So stomach acid, bile acids in the small intestine just, you know, destroy most of those. So when you take those types of things like your bifidobacteria, you'll often see 10 billion or 20 billion or sometimes even more CFUs is what you see on the label. And it stands for colony forming units, but it's the number of basically live organisms. And you need to dose those crazy high because most of them aren't going to survive the journey to get to the gut microbiome to establish, you know, their role as zookeepers. The other thing is they're usually grown on some medium and then centrifuged off. So because of that, they're isolated. And so the way I've, you know, heard it described going way back to when I was in practice is think of those as fragile. You know, if we take anything outside of its home and its food supply, now it's not going to thrive. So because of that, they have to be refrigerated. That's what allows them to even survive in that more fragile state. So those can be really useful, and they have problems, right? The survivability, the fragility, the need for refrigeration. So the spore ones overcome all those obstacles. They're crazy resilient because they're encapsulated in the shell. They don't require refrigeration because they're dormant until they, you know, get to our gut microbiome where they explode into life. And so when I was in practice, it was the soil-based organisms, the spore form, that I relied on. They can work really well. and they have those other attributes. So the main one that we put in Qualia Symbiotic is called Lactospore. And it's been around since 91, way back when I worked at Thorne as a student rep in 95, and then full-time for Thorne after I graduated before practicing. It was the only probiotic that Thorne sold back then. So I you know, taught people to use it. I used it a lot in practice, and it's just a rocking probiotic. And within the probiotic world, there's this term called psychobiotic. And psychobiotic just means it's a probiotic that does stuff in the gut and does stuff in the brain. And most probiotics, we could probably say all, have gut health benefits. Relatively few also then have brain health benefits. And when I was putting together Qualia Symbiotic, I wanted both. Like, we were very much thinking this as the gut-brain axis product. And I, as I mentioned to start, when you think of the brain end of the gut-brain axis, you're thinking of mood and stress, like ability to improve in those areas. And so the Lactospore just has a tremendous human study where over 3 months it improved digestion really quickly, but then progressively over time, and then more gradually mood and stress performance. So, you know, to me, it's, you know, not only a great probiotic, it's one of the few probiotics that's actually a psychobiotic in humans.
I love that. One of the things we forget about is how connected the brain and skin are. And actually, one of my clients, he's a neurologist. He's been on the show as well. I invited him on as a guest, Dr. Joseph Uman. And he shared with me that sometimes people, when they have skin lesions, it can also be indicative of brain lesions as well, because the skin and the brain come from the same neural line. So the whole gut-brain axis is intricately woven with the skin as well. So when we have the ability to be more resilient, and with our mood, it stays more stable, you're going to be less stressed out. And stress is a huge root cause of so many different illnesses out there. And I would be curious your opinion on this, Gregory. How many people that are dealing with mental health conditions and concerns actually have a gut disturbance?
My guess would be most, whether then addressing the gut, you know, the degree that's going to improve their, you know, mood and cognitive performance. I think that's a wild card. But I would be surprised if there's any condition that, you know, a systemic condition, whether it's the skin, you know, joints as an example, aging writ large. We know the gut microbiome, you know, changes in pretty profound ways, cognitively as well. So I think that I tend to think in systems. So it's really hard to perform at our best if our brain's not firing well. But the same, it's really hard to perform at our best if our gut is misfiring, just because that huge interaction with our immune system. And then immune system systemically affects everything. So think of, I recently interviewed the author of a book, 10% Human, on our Collective Insights podcast, the Neurohacker podcast. And she starts her book off with chapters on different things. So she gets into, you know, all these, you know, big issues that are propped up since, say, 1940, 1950, that are now like mini epidemics of people struggling with those, and makes the case that these are largely gut brain or gut, you know, driven phenomena. And that the one thing, and you touched on it earlier, like that idea of integrity of our gut, right? The mucosal barrier. So if, like, just think in a simple sense, like absorption of nutrients happens in the upper GI, largely the small intestine. When we're talking about the gut microbiome, we're talking about the lower GI, but that should still absorb things like short chain fatty acids, you know, your butyrate as an example. It should absorb electrolytes, water, you know, some nutrients that are made locally in the gut, but it should keep out everything else. And if the, like, so the way to visualize this is that area is like, you know, think of the cells as like bricks stacked close together. There should be very little room inside those bricks. And if that's the case, the good stuff can get in, the bad stuff is kept out. But if that space now starts to widen a little, bigger molecules can get in. So something like gluten problems, you know, you need to have the gluten in the diet, but now you also need the integrity in the gut to be diminished enough that that big molecule can somehow squeeze through and get into our circulation. And when you think of skin health writ large, a lot of it is problems with our blood, right? Things in our blood, metabolites from our gut that are now, you know, either being eliminated through our skin, since it's a major channel of elimination, or causing a reaction when it gets to our skin during the process of elimination. So anytime we do things to make those barriers, that distance between the bricks, squeeze tightly so we can keep out all those unwanted things, you'll see just systemically all kinds of things improve, with skin being often among the most dramatic.
Mm-hmm. And some of the gaps that, for everybody tuning in, that Gregory is referring to is something like leaky gut. So if we want to have integrity in our relationships and the way that our minds function, we also want to have integrity with our skin. We also want to have integrity with our gut too. So those things can't enter our being, essentially. So we're more of really who we are, especially keeping those pesky parasites out. One of the things I wanted to mention is the importance of supporting the immune system for the skin. When I started to do this with antioxidants and, you know, doing some pretty sophisticated gut analyses and really supporting the health of my gut, I noticed I could be outside much longer and be more resistant to sunburn. And things like that can be indications that your internal mechanisms are functioning better when you are more resilient to stress. So being always ready is a key component. So always, you know, day in and day out, making great decisions, you know, live in moderation, but 99% of the time, live like you are putting high octane fuel in your system, the right oil, all of that. You're caring for every part of yourself. Now, one of the things I really wanted to highlight was not only the symbiotic bicalia, which is great. It tastes great. Just add it to water, take it every day. But also one of my favorites is the Qualia Senolytics. So when we're talking about keeping things out, we also want to make sure that we are trimming out those senescent cells and zombie cells that can kind of hijack our operating systems and tell other cells to not function appropriately. So this is something I add to my 21-day detox protocol. And for all of you tuning in, you can get the Senolytics, the Symbiotic. The Life is an incredible daily formula, as well as the Mind for really supercharging your cognition. Love to take this. Instead of maybe reaching for that afternoon coffee, go for the Qualia Mind instead. And then, of course, the Qualia Skin, which I did a study for you guys on. I noticed huge improvements myself with this product as well, which is great. And of course, you have a brand new, this might be a little top secret to share here, but oh well, NAD, because NAD is really, really important for us to have in our systems as well. And if you're curious how to get these products, just head on over to theschoolofradiance.com, go to my biohacking page, you'll find some promo codes there. The promo code to share is promo code to use is Varga, and you can learn more about Gregory and his incredible work, as well as with their team of scientists over at neurohacker.com/Varga. But I definitely love everything that you are all doing, the information that you're sharing, the team behind this company is incredible, really bright, radiant humans, in my opinion. So thank you for the work that you're doing and making great products to support us. Gregory, do you have any closing words?
The only thing I would say, and you, I know you're a huge fan, is just the idea of relationship. I think, the doctor-patient relationship I taught, you know, part of my early journey was teaching a lot of what I think more of mind-body things to my patients. And so, you know, one of the things, you know, when I think now of eating with everything I know, and this came, became apparent, one of our, Lauren, she shared that she's taught her daughters a little bit about the zoo analogy. And so part of how they think is like, Mom, is there things in what we're eating in this meal that are going to, you know, feed our zoo animals? Like, where's the fiber? So I guess, long story short, you know, doing all this work on the gut-brain axis and creating quite symbiotic. When I eat now, each meal I tend to think, oh, is there things here that I'm providing to feed, you know, all of these important gut microbiota? Because I want to make sure my relationship with them is solid, right? Because they're doing so much to keep me healthy. So that would be the key thing. What, you know, for the audience listening, you know, make sure that, you know, in your, you know, normal meals, normal day, you're getting enough of the things that can survive digestion to get to and make your gut microbiome really healthy. You'll benefit from that, and they will also.
And your loved ones will too, right? Because you'll be functioning sure. More balanced, cool, calm, collected. Because really the underpinning why behind desiring beautiful skin is confidence to build your community. So have your, you know, community of supplements and nutrients to support you, because our foods aren't as nutrient dense as they once were. And also your community of people to learn from and support you on your own radiance journey. This is why community is so key. And with you looking after yourself and living by example, your kids are going to notice, your loved ones are going to notice. And also in your professional relationships as well, people are going to be more likely to want to work with you when your mind is optimized and your gut brain access is also well balanced. Thank you so much, Gregory, for being back on the show. I always love connecting with you and hearing your new insights, new research, and new innovations that you and your team at NeuroHacker Collective and your Qualia products are doing. So thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, my pleasure. It's always a treat getting to interact with you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to today's episode on the School of Radiance podcast. If you're curious about what to do at home and in clinic with your skin and rejuvenation plan, I'd love to meet you, book your one-on-one with me, join my expert skincare tutorials for how to use your products. We do deep dives into things like biohacking, women's health, face body peels, of course, dermal rolling. And for that cherry on top piece, the School of Radiance membership, where I get into a little bit more about what I do on top of the Qualia Synalytics in my every 21-day detox protocol to stay clear and pure and radiant, because really radiance is a reflection of actually how pure you are on the inside. So it's not about being this picture perfect version of yourself. It's about being the best version you can by always being ready, always being resilient, and of course, always being radiant. Thank you everyone for tuning in, and I will see you again right here on the School of Radiance podcast.